is Indy 101.5 CIOI.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to Steel City Music. And of course, I'm your host, Jamie Gunner-Smith. This week's guest, it's Lou Molinaro, the King of Fun. You can catch him Wednesdays on CFMU from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. on Lou's Control. It's no secret that Lou and I have been friends for years, since back in the old C101 days when we were both DJing there. We've always worked together on music and shows and all the other fun things. So we talk about all those things. December 16th, the Forgotten Rebels are performing at the Corktown. We talk about that. Killjoy shows December 10th. Luke Bentham opening up Electric. Blue Coop, The Dictators, Gene Champagne and the Unteens, The Berettas, The Forgotten Rebels. All of that music is in this. We have a good laugh, and it's great to catch up with my old friend. So here's the interview. Here's the music. Sit back and enjoy, I hope. Hey, thanks for joining me on Steel City Music. I am your host, of course, Jamie Gunner-Smith. And joining me right now is the King of Fun, all the way from the Schwab offices. He maintains offices here in Hamilton, the Schwab, and in Burbank, New York. He is a man of many hats and many talents. And you know him, you love him, Lou Molinaro. Hi, kid.
How you doing, sir?
I'm good. I'm reveling in the fact that I can see you on this pre-recorded Zoom chat, and you have your headphones on, you get your microphone, you get your cool CH hat on, you got your Rocket and the Renegades T-shirt on, and you just finished up teaching your online class to the kids. You know,
I'm a Hamilton billboard.
You are. You really are today, man. Hey, what was the class all about today? Because I know you've been teaching. Where are you teaching? The Harris Institute?
Yeah, so it's Harris. So today we are teaching about advancing the information about a month before your show to make sure that everything is done, including making sure that the band members have valid passports.
Yes.
In order to cross.
Yes.
And it's on Zoom. So it's like, you know, the Hollywood Square set up with all the squares are up there, and you have to watch a lot. And I'm still not used to doing a lot of the Zoom teaching, but it works conveniently for me. It's as one of the students said today, this is a lot of work just for a bar show. because it's like venue management. Like, so it's talking about, you know, if you have a room up to about 500 people. And I just thought, you know, that put a lot of perspective where it made me question a lot of my directions in my life. It's like, wow, he's right.
It's
this is a lot of work. Let's forget about the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. but he makes a valid point. But I mean, everything seems to be a lot of work anyway in life. So you just do the best you can. But it's an interesting point that you bring up about the first thing off the skip that you were saying was make sure they have a valid passport. Do you recall any shows of that stick out where all of a sudden the passport was causing problems for a show?
The Dictators.
The most recent Dictator show.
The most recent Dictator show. What had happened was it was just like a really innocent mistake where one of the guys in the band thought that his passport was expiring in December, not realizing that it was in November. So they had to really quickly get the wheels in motion where they have an office close by in Connecticut where they issue passports the same day. But you basically have to provide all this documentation from our end as to just basically confirming the reason why they need this this passport so quickly is because they are, in fact, doing three shows. Here's the contracts, blah, 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 blah. So you just have to validate and justify the reason for crossing. But he did it about a week and a half before they were crossing. So they had plenty of time, but still, just to be certain. So that was one of the things that just kind of stood out when advancing, because every day you just learn something new. It's never the same, as you know.
The rules of engagement always change from day to day when it comes to promoting a show or advancing a show. But after the passport, what would be the next valid point? I mean, the proper paperwork, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So you're just making sure that everybody's got their passports, that everybody is in check with where they're going to be crossing, because you have to send a manifest and a letter of invitation to the crossing of their preference to make sure that they have all the paperwork in advance. So when they do cross the customs officer, he or she may be able to, you know, get this in advance and then just check off through the manifest. It's like, okay, there's four musicians, two guests, there's six names, and it all works out. Do you guys have merch? It says here that you guys are going to carry merch. How much merch? So it's just basically crossing things off the list from what you're giving them. So just advancing it in advance, because you don't want to do it the week of, because you have to think a lot of the times you're not just working on this show, but you're working on other shows when you have a venue. When you're a Brody or when you're a Corktown Jimmy, you're doing five shows a week sometimes. So you just can't worry about this show.
But the other thing that I learned a long time ago was build in time for mistakes.
Yes.
Constantly build in time for mistakes, because
that's why you're a pro.
You know, like you're just absolutely because right. This says it's going to take this length of time, there's going to be the that thing that floats around that you can't account for, but you can if you build in time. So doing things well in advance is, you know, makes you hypervigilant to the point where you have to take medication, but at least the job gets done.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And that's the other problem. This job doesn't really cover benefits, right?
No, it doesn't now.
So you have to really be careful so you don't have to take that much medication.
Louder. I can live, that's louder.
salvation. So who will save? Who will save? Who will save? Rock and roll!
Some of the shows that you've done recently was you finally were able to do the Blue Coop show. That finally happened. And I hate shows like the Blue Coop. Not that I hate the band, but it's the fact that the band does really well in Hamilton. They're really loved by people here in this area, and they got hit with a COVID issue. They came over. They had to go back. Right. Because you can't play Hamilton and if you have COVID, there's still we still kind of have rules about health and everything here in Canada.
Right.
And then you have to sit on that date and you got to honor the date.
Right.
And then finally they finally were able to come back to Hamilton to finish that date and do a couple other shows. How has the COVID laws changed since in the last 3 to 4 months? Have you noticed?
Well, you used to have to apply for an ArriveCan application, which basically indicates that, you know, if you have COVID, you have to follow the mandates of Canada and stuff like that. So that's been scrapped. But it seems like there seems to be less attention towards it all around. And what I mean by that was when Blue Coop came in July, the band themselves were super very careful, trying not to mingle too much with people, just trying to keep it very low key. But of course, as you know, in this industry, it's very difficult because the moment you finish the show, you go backstage, the moment you leave your backstage area to collect some stuff, those fans are still waiting. So although they were trying so hard to keep healthy and to stay away from any potential, it's inevitable. So I think the truth is that it's still around and it's still going to create problems. We're hearing about all sorts of bands that are canceling last minute because of COVID issues. And that seems to be a bit of a crutch because I have to tell you, the excitement going into that July show was not as the same as going into the October show. Not because of the band. It had nothing to do with that. It was just that. So the excitement about presenting Gene's band, the Unteens,
right,
and everything that happened with Gene, you know, that everybody was really excited. There were so many people that looked at that show as a double bill rather than just Gene opening up for them. And then, you know, pulling the plug the day of was just awful. And I think to some people, it kind of took a lot of that hysteria away. And then there was a few people that just had requested their refunds because either they couldn't do it in October or they really wanted Gene's band to be part of it, hence the reason why they bought tickets to begin with. So it was kind of a difficult thing to get back into. But the funny thing about the October show was we did schedule Gene's band, the Unteens, to be part of it. But then something happened to his drummer where they had to pull
right.
out.
Yeah, I heard he. So, I heard he was like a car accident. And,
he was in a car accident or something.
In his leg. I think he broke his leg or something.
He hurt his leg in a car accident where I think he. I don't know if this is accurate or not. I think he went to avoid hitting the deer and hit the tree instead or vice versa. Or maybe he hit the deer accidentally. I don't know. There was something that happened up north somewhere.
You know, that clearly could have been – the whole thing could have been avoided if you included the deer as the opener, solo acoustic opener, and then the deer wouldn't speak the show.
Yeah.
You know, that's on you. That's not on anyone.
That's on you. That's just because I'm trying to be selfish and make it easier. Instead of having three acts, just do two acts.
That's the problem right there. You didn't build in time.
Yeah.
Listening to Steel City Music, our special guest right now is Lou Molinaro, the King of Fun. You can hear him over on CFMU from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. every Wednesday. And, of course, you can hear my show just before his as well. So, you know, we're chatting about the Blue Coupe. You did that show, The Dictator Show. The last time I saw you was a little while ago at the Corktown. You were just pulling off the Soul. Was it the Soul?
Oh, the Soul Motivator Show with Greg Vickers.
Yeah. That show, and you had that special guest DJ that night.
I love the way you and Gavin Sullivan and yourself just basically kind of moved your way closer and closer, like it was a chess game. There's strategy before
sure,
you guys actually
that's
went to
right,
say hi to Vickers.
There was such a strategy to everything. Well, Gavin, and of course, we're talking about the Corktown here in Hamilton. My buddy Gavin and I, we used to go in the Corktown when we were kids, just like everyone else. And we sat there and we were like, you know, we're just just going on about all the memories of us younger, that sort of thing, his band, All Good Children, all the weirdness. And then you walked in, and Gavin's first reaction was to throw a French fry at your head.
Yeah.
And I'm like, don't do that. And he's like, he goes, what? And he just whips his French fry, and he times it perfectly, hits you right in the head. And I'm like going, what's one thing you've learned about the Corktown growing up? Never throw anything at anyone in the Corktown. They take it the wrong way.
At least it was soft stuff.
At least it was. I remember going in there when I was a kid with Steve Foster, and I was like, duck, why? Here comes a pool ball, you know.
What was your first visit to the Corktown?
I think, when I was much younger, I think I went in there with my dad.
Wow.
Popeye. And
was that a hangout that your dad went to?
Oh, my dad. Yeah. A lot of Hamiltonians, I'm 53. So my father was like, he came from Cape Breton and he used to drink at the Corktown in his 20s. Right. So, but that was my introduction to the place. And then when I got 19, I became a busboy, and that's where it all started, where I got to meet, old Molly. She'd hit me in the head with the cane to make her a tea, that sort of thing. that place has so much nostalgia and history. So like over the years, all of us,
I love your memoirs.
Yeah. All of us go to that bar and we all have a separate funny story about that place. Right. And then leaving there years later, coming back, and then you started working there, booking, Lynn and Becky. I think Becky worked back.
Becky was working there for sure. Yeah.
And then you having
Darlene,
and then you having to deal with the owner, and then later coming to me at C101 going, Jamie, I have a question. I'm like, what's that? Tell me about, the owner at the time, Jay Wang, right? About a poster or whatever show. And then I would give you the backgrounder on it, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
He had very fond memories of you. And I often he would ask me if I, because he knew we were doing radio together.
Yeah.
And he always used to tell me that, Jamie, he's a good boy.
Yeah, he's a good boy. Yeah, he's a good boy. He make me money. Yeah. I made him some money when I was a kid. I also lost him some money, but I made him some money.
I have to tell you, I certainly enjoyed his reign of the Corktown much more than those couple of months after the new owners took it over before Jim has it right now.
Right.
I just thought just looking at things professionally, the new owners had a mandate, which I respect. And, sometimes when you bump heads with them, I just felt like if you guys already had this in the works, why would you even ask me to stay on for a couple of months knowing that it wasn't going to work? It just led on to your frustration. And sure. As you mentioned, sometimes you just have to avoid problems. And I think that whole couple of months of major frustration could have been avoided. But the one thing that I really respected about Jay was that he was very transparent about why, he wanted you to work there. And that was just to basically make him money so he can cover his costs. And when shows lost money, boy, oh boy, even if you went to bed at, like I had your old apartment when I lived with Lynn. And even if you went to bed about 3:30, he would show up about 8:30. If you don't pick up the phone, there's a knock on the door, right? He wanted you to come downstairs and explain what happened to the money, with the loss. And every time we had a loss, I would always ask our bartender, it was either Becky or Jesse that did most of the closing,
sure,
just to kind of explain and justify, what happened or, how many people showed up, even if it was my numbers, like with my closing sheets and stuff like that, just to explain it, because I would never want him to think that, we weren't bearing the truth about how crappy a show did, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Especially when, especially when you had to pay bands in American money. That was the worst part because, it was funny. Like he always would, when it came to doing any sort of banking, he would always allow you to do certain things. But when it came to getting American money, he always had to get the American money. Maybe he got his American money from a place that had lower conversion rates or something. I'm not too sure. But
what a creative thing to say on your part.
Yeah, I don't know. I because it never failed when we had the Reverend Horton Heat. You know, I insisted. I said, look, I know you're busy, because he also had a couple of other things on the go all the time. I said, I can get this converted and then you could pay me back. No. I'll get the American money. And there was a bunch of shows that we did where we had to pay in American funds, and the same thing constantly all the time. We always had to, you know, rely on him to get the American money. But it was, but for maybe it was just a matter of the fact that he felt that that was kind of like, you know, raising his profile as an owner, getting American money.
Sure. Maybe. Yeah. That might you raise know, your profile.
Yeah, or you know, maybe the night before he's in bed, he can't sleep, he's tossing and turning, and the wife is like, oh, babe, let me guess, you got to get American money tomorrow morning, right?
I'd be tossing and turning the night of as well, but because wasn't allowed to touch the money, you know?
No, not many. No,
yeah, I know. There you go.
That little Dropbox, right?
Little Dropbox.
There was a Dropbox that was put in a cement wall in the basement. And I remember it was like, you know, it was very secure.
Very secure. He didn't really need the Dropbox or anything. He was a very respected man. Let's just put that very, very nicely and calmly.
Yeah. I miss him actually.
So, yeah. Well, I miss him too. I have so many funny stories, right? You know, but that's the past. And as we move forward, so you're looking healthy. You've wrapped up a whole bunch of shows, buddy. You know, you're in your last stretch here, coming up.
You know, what do you mean by that?
Well, no, come on now. You know, you jumped the hurdles. You did all the other shows. You know, you did the juggling acts. You know, you kept all the plates spinning. Those shows are
lots
done.
Lots of moving parts.
Those shows are done. Now we're moving into what we like to call, we're going to wrap her up in December, you know, and then and figure what we're going to do in the new year. But December 10th, show coming up, kind of, it was a surprise for me personally. It'll tell you in a minute, but part of the show is Sonic Onion is co-promoting Moto Live. Doing the Killjoys December 10th at the Bridgeworks here in Hamilton. And on the bill, opening up electric acoustic, is a Luke Bentham from the Dirty Nil.
Yes.
Why this show for you? Like, why did you want this particular show?
Well, I know no more, like no one else other than you will understand this, but there's magic to those songs that the Killjoys have written over the years. And to me, there's certain shows that honestly are more selfish, because it's just it's not letting go of a magical moments that happened in your life. When you think about, you know, the good times in the '90s, when all these great Canadian bands were coming out, like Rusty and 13 Engines, Change of Heart, the Killjoys, they were like a major, major part of my life. I listened to those records so much. The Junkhouse album, Strays, another one. And I just have a hard time not being excited and not wanting to see them live, because it just reminds me of a lot of good times in life. It reminds me of when life was a lot easier, but it gets back ended with the fact that these three guys are great musicians. They're still healthy and they still should be playing. So any opportunity that I get to work with Gene, Mike, and Shelley, I try to selfishly take advantage of it, because for me, it's just an opportunity to see a band that is so well, you know, they're so well put together, and they're still, as I mentioned, healthy. They should be playing more. And then there's a lot of people out there that feel the same way. I was so excited to hear the feedback from the Horseshoe show that they did in October. Jeff Martin from Hamilton City Magazine went, and he said it was unbelievable. He said it was like really well attended.
Yeah, it did really well.
And so, as it should. So I can only hope that, as much as Gene's involvement with Teenage Head is important, that the three of them really kind of look at this and say, you know, why not try to do something a little bit more consistent with this band? Because they're all great songsmiths. They know what they're doing and they're easy to work with. And again, Gunnar, you've worked with them for so long. You know them better than anybody. they're really good human beings.
They are. And, you know, they put on a really good front with the rest of society. But if you get them all in a van or on a bus, they're just not good people. They're just
no.
You just don't want to be around them. They'll make you nuts. They'll make you lose your hair. You know, it's thank you. But
I think it's their passion about how much they love about their music and how they want to do well. And doing well in Hamilton is obviously very important to them, because I think as much as they're very humble, they realize that they're an important thread of the Hamilton music.
Oh, I think so too. You know, like
legacy.
Yeah, I think they're woven in the tapestry of Hamilton music for sure. They've made their mark, and I get excited now when I hear new music. You know, like, yes. I'm like, oh, good. You know, there's, you know, Mike is like writing, and Gene's doing great stuff with the Unteens. And, but Mike has been writing some really good music as well. Some of this, even like, they're even covering off one of the songs that he wrote for a horror movie, with the Cemetery Spawn project that he does. Cause Mike does all the horror indie films as well. Right. And he writes soundtracks for them. And, it's some of the stuff is they played it live at the horse show. It was like, wow, this is really good. This really fits. It's a Killjoy song. Right. So, but my whole thing with this December 10th show, because you know, even before that and on the van ride back from the horseshoe, we're just like, okay, geez, we're tired. Everyone's tired. You know, that took a lot of effort to do that show. But, you know, let's look at something in the new year to do a show. And then this one just kind of happened. I wanted to know how the involvement started, because it's between Sonic Onion, which are great guys. They're promoting it.
Yeah.
But Moto Live has been this promotion company that I've seen over the last 3 or 4 months doing new artists and old artists, promoting them across the country. So how did you get involved with Moto Live?
So I've known Mark DiPietro for many years. We used to book an artist by the name of Nisa at the St. Hollywood.
Kidding me? I had no idea.
Yeah. And Mark exclusively manages her as well as other artists, but he's been a mainstay. And if you remember the label Teenage USA,
right?
Mark was a part of that as well. So he's been a major part of the industry for a long time. He moved to Hamilton, and they were looking at doing more shows, not only in Hamilton, but all across Ontario. And they expressed interest doing a show with the Killjoys. And when I spoke with Gene, when they were getting, even back in the summer when we were looking at doing a show with Blue Coop with the Unteens, I was mentioning to Gene, look, if you guys are ever thinking about doing another show, because he was mentioning the a show with the Killjoys at the Horseshoe. I said, if you guys are ever thinking about doing a show in Hamilton, please let me know. I'd love to put one on and probably do it at the Bridgeworks. And then Gene contacted me and he said, Moto Live has reached out and asked if they could present a show, and Sonic is going to be behind it. And Gene said, how would you feel about working with the two of those entities? And I thought, you know, with something like this, the more the merrier, because I just, you know, it branches out to everybody's followings and it just kind of gets the word out more aggressively at promoting the show. And it gives you an opportunity just to kind of work with other people. And I have to tell you, Mark DiPietro runs a great team, and he's got like a camp that's doing great work. And he again, is very passionate about the shows. He will not do a show unless he really believes in it. Like, that's the one thing that I really like about him is that you can certainly tell that he has a finesse and he won't you know, back down from it. So if he feels very strongly about the artist that he's going to be presenting in a market like Peterborough or Kitchener or Ottawa, then he'll do it. And I think that takes a lot of guts to do it. So I've been, you know, every day brings on new parameters, and I've been learning about promoting in a different context because of people like Mark. Like, he's really got his finger on the pulse. So it's been kind of an interesting experience, because it feels like, you know, this teamwork has been really kind of been good for the Killjoy show, because the most important thing is we all love the band, and so we're all like behind it. So it's not like just promoting another typical show. It's promoting a show with a band that we all love. So, yeah. we seem to be working extra further with them. So that's how that came about. Okay. It was Moto Live reaching out to the Killjoys and wanting to put on a show. And thankfully, I got invited to help co-present it.
I come undone, wound too tight. With my normal grace, you can't put me on the shelf, then take me down again when you feel like myself.
Indy 101.5 CIOI.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
Twice, you should take my advice. She's the best.